show this prehistoric bitch how we do things downtown.
Hello and welcome to Empire Geek, the current affairs geek podcast that covers everything from comic books to films to the latest scientific breakthroughs and tech and stuff, which is quite appropriate because today's Ultimo Geek, which is the greatest geek quiz show, is very tech-related. So we're going to be seeing how the chaps do. Now, let me introduce, first of all, myself. I'm Steve, your host of the show. I am a all-round good egg. I'm a comic book artist. My book, Midnight Butterfly, is on Amazon now. Look it up and get it. I'm just starting talking about myself. I'm the host of the show, and with me I have Rick. Hello, Rick.
Hello.
You are a robot sent from the future to impregnate all women. That is true, isn't it?
All women that want impregnated?
Oh, yeah, you're not a rape bot. Let's be clear about that.
Still a lie.
Yeah.
The chat of mine isn't, shut up, otherwise I'll kill you, is it?
There are no chat-up lines.
There's a very good chance that is getting edited out. We also got Paul on the show. A nice kind of rapey start there. Well done. I don't know whether to remove what you said, but still keep in the comment about you being a little bit rapey to begin with.
I'm not rapey. I haven't got rapey eyes.
You are 40, though. Your chat-up line of...
Just because you're 40 doesn't make you rapey, Rob, does it?
Yeah,
it's Paul's
birthday. That was it. We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll talk about your birthday in a second.
Oh, okay.
We've also got Raoul.
Hello.
On the show. We'll talk about you in a minute as well in relation to Paul's birthday. And we've got Andy as well.
Hiya.
You represent the everyman. You're the way into the show for people who probably have no interest whatsoever in geeky stuff. Just turn up because they want to hang around with friends.
I'm just giving you a civilian's perspective.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Anyway,
I'm a civilian as opposed to somebody who comes from Seville. That's what I thought you meant for a minute.
Fucking hell, you're on fire tonight.
What's going on?
Right, before we talk about anything else, have you all had a good week? It's been a while since we put up a new show.
How long?
It's probably been, by the time I put it up, about maybe 3 weeks. Ooh, wow. Try to get one up every week or so, but you know.
Maybe... What about the podcast though?
What, sorry?
What about the podcast? Not about you. What
He's
about the podcast?
Are you alright, yeah? Have you bought yourself a joke book? Paul picks up the jokes!
Can you see it?
No.
With a joke book as well.
Have you undone your trousers? Your flies are undone.
Yeah,
aren't
you're creeping open.
I thought it was a bit
You sat there with your legs akimbo.
I thought it was a bit
As
airy.
If to suggest you have large grapefruit, but we all know you don't.
Don't ask me to get Don't make me get it out.
No one wants to. I don't have my magnifying glass anyway, so it'd be no good.
He's
so,
no Tom Jones, is what you're saying.
No. We can't talk about that story, though, can we? So, well, it's been your birthday this week, Paul. Did you have a nice birthday week?
It was really enjoyable, it was. It was really, really nice, yes, that all my friends could congregate around my house and we could celebrate it together with half an Eton chocolate cake with a sparkler on it.
Yes.
Which was brought out unceremoniously.
Somebody
it's also nice that you could have all of your friends around at the house, knowing that they're gonna talk and discuss all your good points and what they think all your bad points are as well.
And then fucking bury you.
Yeah. Talk to your sister.
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Did that go
Destroy
on for
your
anyone?
House. It felt a little bit like I think Julius Caesar must have felt when the entire congregation of the Senate came round and stabbed him in the back when he was
looking. Et tu, Raoul.
Yeah.
Because Raoul did a number on you, didn't he?
I think he was the combined weight of the Senate on me.
Can you say he did a number on you?
As in, as much as he went to your sister, didn't he? It'd be a foul.
Yeah,
he did. If being chums is a game of a sport, the referee would surely be showing him.
It was more like a Game of Thrones, let me tell you.
I don't actually know what
Everyone
happens,
was
turning, I think,
turning
I think
against.
He's being like exacerbated. I might have made a joke about you being a bit of a man whore and on Tinder or Grindr and stuff. And then Andy's on about how you move him into too quickly or something.
No, he didn't say that.
He did.
That's such a liar.
And then I agreed with him.
We sat there, me.
How much do you actually have to drink?
We said if we were in your shoes, you got the wife out of the way, you got the kids out of the way, and now you're free. You can do what the hell you like.
Can I just say that I don't adhere to this idea of
I did
of
say
me.
That, just, yeah.
Hey,
you did say that to your sister.
I said you've done all the heavy stuff in life. You should just enjoy, you know, doing some stuff.
Well, it would be nice.
But
I didn't lay into you,
what I'm genuinely concerned about is obviously this kind of picture that's being created of me. It's now going out on air. I don't have a fucking chance, have I? My life is going to be destroyed by a lie of me buying a manhole.
You've got more chance than us.
Oh, thanks, Rob. Is that you trying to backpedal now? Don't
include me in your fucking misery, well. We've got to think of it this way. Raoul has a girlfriend. There's hope for everyone. So, shall we?
It's interesting, that, because I do wonder about, you know, obviously Raoul's got a very nice girlfriend.
What, how did Raoul get a girlfriend?
No, I think he's very charismatic.
Self-loathing.
I would say that Raoul is the right type of person. If you wanted to go out, let's say, and you were single, he'd be the right person to take out in the town, because he'd be really, really good at chatting girls up. If he was single, that is. If he was single. He's not single. But if he were single...
I hope your girlfriend doesn't listen to this.
Really, really good at chatting girls up. The sort of person that, you know, you could kind of just get into the conversation once you've done all the hard work, all the groundwork.
What would that groundwork involve? Would it involve...
It might involve just going in there and just, you know, making conversation, because other people, other blokes, other chaps are a little bit embarrassed to do that. He's not embarrassed. I mean, he wouldn't be embarrassed if you were to do that.
Yeah. Let's all look at Raoul for a bit.
Handsome chap, me.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? He's the sort of person who's got the confidence to do that.
He has. A good wingman.
Yes. That's if it was
theoretically,
yeah.
Yeah. I've always been single, Rob, in the last year or 2 years.
You've been with your girlfriend for a long time now, haven't you?
We just split up for a short period.
What did you? When was that?
Did she know you'd split up?
Year and a bit ago.
Yeah. She knew we split up.
Are you going to beg me to cut this out of the recording later on?
Well, no, because I didn't do anything while we were split up.
That's true, you didn't.
Can I just say, I can't be asked to start editing this more than I have to do, so let's leave that conversation. Go back and listen to some previous shows.
It doesn't matter.
I was wondering if it was in previous shows still.
Was it a good wind-up?
It was a good wind-up.
Yeah, good.
But I'm chilled.
Yeah. It is. Anyway, we'll talk about...
You're shitting yourself with your little tiny arsehole like that.
If I was shitting myself... I was yesterday.
They're a perfect
honestly, match. I had 12
tiny
on the train.
With tiny 12 arms.
Shits? Yeah.
Oh, God.
It wasn't healthy.
12 shits.
Anyway, can we... 12 shits. How's about you two shut the feck up and we continue with the show? Stop talking about Rob's bowel movements and all that. Raoul. He's already called you Rob anyway, but we'll continue with this facade of calling you Raoul. Anyway, we went to the LinkCon this week. And we were selling my comic book there, and I'd also made some natty little kind of resin casts of the monster from Midnight Butterfly. So we went along there, and I had a really good time. I really enjoyed it. Raoul, you've got some negatives. You want to lay in there first of all, don't you?
It was really just the extortionate door entry price of £7 for an adult, £5 for... Well, I can actually get the exact figures up.
£5 for a child.
Yeah, so it's £7 for an adult, £5 for a children, students for £6. VIP, whatever that gave you, I don't know, was 17, and under threes were free. Now, if you're a family, you know, just mum, dad, two kids, you can easily spank £24 just to get in the place.
Did you say spank?
That's a great expression.
You can spank how much?
You can even spank £24 just getting in the place. You know, just before we've even done anything.
Is that a combination of spend and wank?
It means you're a wanker for spending that much.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know.
I like that.
Are you often spanking it?
Always. So, yeah, I'm just going to check if I've done the sums correctly. So, yeah, so two adults, that's 14, two children, so that'd be 24 quid. And I just thought that it wasn't really worth 24 quid. For 24 quid, I expect to get something...
Did you have two children with you?
No, I didn't.
So what are you whinging on about?
Because it cost me 14 quid. But the point is...
I think it's a skill of empathy. He's trying to explain that, did he have, you know, if you have children, that it would be expensive. You can empathise how difficult it is for parents.
I don't think there was enough stuff in there to warrant... Because effectively what you're doing is you're paying to view a load of stores where you're going to buy more stuff.
Shit, yeah.
And yeah, they had like the cosplay competition and a few free video games. But I don't think it was worth the £24. I thought felt they were really, really milking it. Conversely, the Comic Con that we went to up in Yorkshire Way, where was that?
That was the Yorkshire Geek Fest.
Barnsley, that's right, yeah. Elsker. Now, that was a few quid. I think it was about £3 to get in. I can't quite remember. But that was reasonable. It had just as many tables, just as much stuff going on. In many ways, I think as a Comic-Con geeky festival type thing, it was probably more enjoyable than the one in Lincoln. The one in Lincoln, the Lincoln one, felt like it was just about trying to get as much cash out of you as possible. And I think that's where they missed a trick, because while yes, the tables were relatively cheap, so that kept the storeholders happier. Had they reduced the price, I reckon they'd have got more throughput, more people through, and you potentially could have made more money.
Well, I would say this. Personally speaking, I don't think £7 is that massive an amount. If you look at some of the other conventions, like the Nottingham Convention we're going to talk about later, it's £7 on the day to get in there. Stuff like the Independent Comics Expo in Birmingham is £15. So I don't think £7 is that massive an amount to pay for a convention. I think, if anything, it's just the case of you being a massive cheapskate.
I thought the atmosphere... The Yorkshire Geek Fest was a great atmosphere. This was also a great atmosphere. They did have they had lots of more game stuff upstairs as well. They had quite a lot going on. Now, there was a lot of other stuff going on around. There was some kind of arts show thing outside, wasn't there?
Where was it?
Some music and stuff were playing. This was at the drill.
Yeah, but that
was
nothing to do with the Comic-Con. That was to do...
Oh, yeah, but I mean, it was nice that it was all on at the same time, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that was stuff to do with the university, and that was a separate...
Yeah, but it was. I think it was very good. It added to the whole thing. I really enjoyed it. I liked it. We made more money there actually than we did at the Yorkshire one, as far as it went. And it was.
How were sales? Was it good?
Yeah, it was really. Yeah, it was very good sales. We did really well. It turned out very good. And also got to chat to some people as well. There were some really nice people there, and I'm going to talk about some of them in a minute. But it was a really good vibe. In fact, I've been invited to go on to a different podcast with some other people. So screw you, a-holes. I'm leaving. But then I'm going to come back. Yeah, so it's, I think...
In Lincoln?
I'm not fully sure where it'll be, if I'll have to do it through Skype or not, because I'll tell you a bit more about them in a minute, because there's some cool cats. But I really enjoyed it.
That's
and
it,
I
he's gone.
I, well,
we
this
knew
is
it was
going
to happen.
This is my podcast, so I can't really leave it. It's my deal, isn't it?
Your baby.
But yeah, it was. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought there was lots going on, and it just felt good. There was lots of cool people, and the cosplayers were approachable. And there's only one person there I thought was a bit of a douche, and that was this bunch of kind of slightly chubby hipsters. You know, I don't want to be rude. And they walked past, and there was a girl in the group, and I said to them, "Do you want to support British comic artists?" And the girl turned to me, and this is the only bad thing, everyone else there was awesome. She turned to me, and it looked as if I'd jumped on the table, dropped trow, and then piped out a shit in front of her. Because her nose was like, obviously it didn't work on a podcast, but it was like this, it was like, And she looked at me with absolute disgust, and then she walked past, and I thought, what a twat. But she was the only one. Everyone else was really, really decent. The people next door to us, you know, our stall, were brilliant.
Do you act like a chimp and shut and throw your own excrement at her?
I was tempted to, you know, to crap in my own hand and hurl it at the back of her head. But she was the only person. And normally you get a few people, like, even at the Yorkshire Geek Fest, you get some of the... She wasn't even a cosplayer, though. She's got no right. At least cosplayers have made an effort. They've got no pockets. Fair enough. They're not going to buy stuff.
So what you're bitching about is that she didn't buy, or that she was just up
I don't
her
care
ass?
If you buy or not. It's the fact that I say something, I'm being very reasonable and friendly, and then she looks at me like I've took a shit underneath
yeah,
her nose.
That's not nice.
That's what she looked at me like. But other
that's
than that,
not nice,
everyone was great. It was really nice. I thought there was a really good atmosphere there, and I thought it felt different to... We went to one in Newark recently, a convention, which felt very much more like a let's do a convention, make lots of money. And I don't think you said differently, but I didn't feel like that this was. It felt like a friendly, cool kind of convention with lots of, you know, nice people there who were just enjoying themselves.
I think it was certainly better for the store owners because you do hear.
You weren't there very long though, were you?
Probably I was there for about 45 minutes in total.
Because it was on from about 9 till 4. Mm. And there's just lots of cool stuff. They had some displays on the stage. They had some guys.
It's like the other one that was around, the Lincoln Comic Con, which I think they did at the Showground.
Yeah.
At the Barnsley Comic Con, loads of store owners were complaining that it cost them £65, in the middle of nowhere, the entrance fee was too high, few people came, etc., etc. That was clearly trying to milk the proverbial. Because I think even £65 for a table is a bit...
That is quite a lot.
Steep side.
I would only pay that, I think, if I went somewhere which was mainly comic books. Because this one wasn't particularly many, if any, other comic people.
Yeah.
But we still managed to do good business. Mainly because of my sister. My sister's really good at selling stuff to folks. And she gets in there and gets chatting to them. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I just want to name some of the people I spoke to. Number one was the lady who was next door to us. Are you freaking insulted? You just informed me. You ass.
Didn't mean to. I just.
Do you ever mean
well,
to?
Well, the thing is, she had this costume hung up on the wall, and I didn't know it was hers. It just said, "Be your own superhero, £20." I looked at it and thought, it's just a bit of felt. It's not worth £20. I thought.
What did you say?
I just said, that looks a bit crap, really.
Well, you said, that looks a bit crap, really?
Yeah, I turned around.
Would you like that if someone said that to you about your comic?
I didn't realise.
Above the table.
I didn't realise that anybody was nearby that made it or anything. I just hung up.
Okay,
just,
no, well,
it was opposite a stall.
That's right up there with slagging one of your best friends off to her sister, that is. Unbelievable.
I just thought that looks a bit crap. And I said, that looks a bit crap. Turned around, the lady was on the store, and she just smiled at me and laughed. So, yeah.
She was a really
say,
though, nice.
That cape, she actually sat behind a stall and did that there and then. I don't think you're buying that. You're buying a finished project. That was just what she'd done behind her stall.
Yeah.
And she put up, she sewed it all there and then quickly. And
this is Lisa, my girlfriend, who's out of outrage, decided to join us now.
So it's a good job she didn't see
you
what you've done.
You
could
say £20 as well, but she spent time on that and fabrics and stuff.
And I want to give her a shout out because not only did she make some really cool stuff, don't listen to what Raoul says, he's a shit. She's called, if you go on Facebook and look up The Rat Basket, you can see some of the stuff that she does. So just look up The Rat Basket on there. She's a really nice lady, and she'll personalise everything she makes for you if you want something personalised. So I loved the stuff she did. It looked cool, and she was a really bloody nice person. And the other people I want to talk about, before I got onto the main people I want to talk about, was I got chatting to these two people in Battlestar Galactica uniforms, and they are part of this UK Battlestar Galactica kind of costume dress-up group. Now, I've added myself onto their Facebook page, because you've got to be allowed in. But I love Battlestar Galactica, and they were telling me where you can get costumes from, and you can on their Facebook page, I assume you can find out. So I want to give them a shout out because that is awesome.
Some cool stuff out there, actually. I was looking online. I've been watching on Netflix the original Star Trek series just because I watched it as a kid and I can't remember half the episodes. So I went on there and checked out all the old Star Trek episodes. That's some cool memorabilia you can get off the internet. You know, like you can get the original phasers, and they actually, you know, workable phasers. They're about $35. But they've got all the right knobs and stuff on it, and like all the sound effects and stuff.
Can I actually kill people?
Well, I bet the lady who was making those capes wished that they could, if she had one.
Yeah, I've sort of wished that as well.
Yeah, I want to speak then about the other people we met there. They came over and started chatting to us. And it was the guy who actually came over to me. It was called Luke Condor. Is that not a feckin' ace name? Luke Condor.
Is that his real name?
I hope so, because it's a good name. In fact, I've spelled it wrong there. It's with a K. That makes it even cooler. So he came over and he got chatting. And they do a podcast where they're a group called Pork and Cleaver. And they describe themselves as a digital story studio. So what they do is they put together books and podcasts of these stories that they write. And I've got a sample of one to play you in a second. And they gave me a free CD with some of the stuff on. And they're doing a comic soon.
Hawk and Cleaver is a good name. I like that.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? I thought, oh, it's going to be some blokes writing some stories. And are they going to be a bit pants? You know what? I'll let you listen to the sample first, but... Fucking ace, really good, really well done.
Do they need any branding there at all?
The branding's quite nice, actually, they've got. So this is the cover from it. That's a nice picture, isn't it, they've got there?
It's okay.
So on it,
is it a bit like the big Finish stuff?
No, it's different from that. It's not the short stories that they do and then they release them. So if you go on their website, which is hawkandcleaver.com, you can buy some of the books they do. And now the people who make up the group are Luke Condor, who you can buy a book he wrote called The Hipster Who Leapt Through Time, Matt Butcher, who does Deeper Than the Grave, and Ben Errington, who does this book called Oil Slicks. You can buy all those books, and then they all work together on this thing called The Other Stories. And so I'm going to play you one, which is the first one on the CD that they gave me, and it's called The Alien. It's written by Matt Butcher, and it's narrated by Steve Conlin. And I thought, you know, it'd be okay, but I was really taken aback by actually how quality it was, and this very well written. So I'll play you a bit of this now. Hopefully it'll sound okay on the microphone.
Seeing me sat on the floor, it took a step forward and extended its hand, adorned with an extra digit, in my direction. I viewed it suspiciously. Was I to be taken with the visitor, like the victims of the stories I'd heard? It pulled the tight skin around its mouth back to reveal rows of tiny teeth, far more than normal, all of near uniform size. I couldn't tell if this was an expression of aggression or reassurance, though given the circumstance, I assumed the latter. I felt far from reassured. Who are you? I wanted to scream. Where do you come from? I already half knew the answer to this second question. Upwards.
I'll leave it there on that bit.
Sounds very authoritative.
It does.
How old do you think these guys are?
I met them. I would say they are in their, I'm going to guess, 20s? Maybe,
wow.
Early 20s. That Steve Conlin has got a good voice, hasn't he?
Yeah,
he does. He sounds like Laurence Olivier.
And the music by Tom Robinson is really good background music, because you don't even realise it's there. When I listened it first time, I thought, was there any music in it? And then I went back and listened and thought, there is.
That's the best kind of
work, cleverly put in.
Yeah.
And it emphasises certain parts.
That's the best way, isn't it? Sometimes less is more.
They gave me the CD with all these different stories on, and I've listened to that one. And that story's got a really good ending as well. It's very cleverly done. And I really liked it. So I wanted to... They're the guys who said to me... it was Luke Condor I spoke to, messaging me tonight, saying about coming on his podcast and all that. So if we could do something... There was even some talk of maybe doing some artwork with them, but we'll have to see about that. Mm. Now, one of the other exciting things that Hawk and Cleaver are doing is this book that they're going to bring out called El Marvo, and it's going to be released on Kickstarter very soon. This is some
artwork.
Is Dan
Butcher related to one of the podcasts?
I mean, Matt Butcher?
Yeah.
Funny you should say that, because I don't know the answer, but Dan Butcher's going to be mentioned in a few minutes.
I know.
Is he his brother?
I do wonder.
Maybe you can try and find out for us.
But Dan Butcher hates me.
No, he doesn't.
You say he doxed me or something.
Who's Dan? He was joking.
Who is Dan Butcher?
What do you mean, who's Dan Butcher?
Who the hell is Dan Butcher?
Vanguard comic? The Dan Butcher?
Recently named as one of the best comics, free comics on the internet, Vanguard.
Oh, and one of the Dan best Butcher illustrators of our generation.
Yes.
Don't you go getting angry at me. You've caused enough shit this week, Rob. Yeah. Raoul, I
mean. Oh, I bleep that now. That doesn't hurt him, it hurts me. I've got to bleep
that. That was an accident, but you're a pain in the arse.
Right, I'll talk about this then.
Putting me down, shouting me down. Don't shout me down.
When did I shout you down?
Just now, you just shouted me down. I'll shout you down.
Did I?
Well, I don't think you did that much, but I'm going to make a point of shouting you down.
Can I talk about this then?
Yes, you may. You may talk about this.
This is something. It's not a Let's Be a Knob competition. Second place is only up for grabs. And this is El Marvo, and this is a comic that's going to be coming out, and this is written by Ben Errington and Luke Condor from Hawk and Cleaver, and as I said, it's going to be released on Kickstarter, and it's going to be illustrated by friend of the show, Dan Butcher. Now, this is a story about...
Forget it, I'm joking.
How dare you? Now, he's also one of the presenters of the Awesome Comics podcast, which we're going to talk about in a moment as well. So, El Marvo is going to be the story. It's set 200 years in the future. The world has gone to shit. and only one continent is left remaining. Everyone's been wiped out elsewhere, full of mutants and psychopaths, and this one continent is known as Muck. And El Marvo is this wrestler who wakes up and one of his legs is missing, so he ends up getting replaced with this steampunk style leg, and he leads this kind of fight against this this guy called Socrates, who's a dictator who rules over all the enslaved people. So you've got mutants, zombies, monsters, and this limbless, well, he's only got one limb missing, luchador, who goes on an adventure with his two helpers, who are Go Get 'em Girl and Knuckle Duster. Hmm. So it sounds like it's going to be really interesting. If they've written it, Hawk and Cleaver, it's going to be good. And if Dan Butcher's on the art, surely it's a surefire winner, isn't it?
I'd say so.
Now, talking about Dan Butcher, as I mentioned already, he's on the Awesome Comics podcast. I'm going to do a segue, because they love a good segue, and so do I. Because, you know, when we talk about Dan Butcher and the Awesome Comics podcast, we talk about Dan Butcher, and we also talk about Vincent Hunt, don't we?
Chunt.
Oh, yes, Vincent Hunt. Who does the Red Mask from Mars?
You can't say
I'm
that.
Joking, it just rhymes.
What is it with you two? You're ruining his life. You're slagging off friends of the show.
No, I didn't mean it. It just rhymed, that's all.
Paulie said that, if you want to slag him off on your own podcast.
No, I was joking.
They mentioned us on their podcast recently, and we have done a grave disservice, because the Awesome Comics podcast, when we talk about it, we only ever mention old Hunt and Butcher. But you know what? There is a third player within that game, and his name is Tony Esmond. He's on Twitter as Professor Riptide, and he did mention on a previous show of one of their shows that he hated us, because imagine if they mentioned this podcast and no one ever mentioned Raoul, left him out all the time. That is what we've inadvertently been doing.
They do, don't they?
People always mention you. I won't mention the words that follows when they mention you.
So they were upset that we hadn't mentioned anything.
Not they, you know, Vincent Hunt and Danny B. They get loads of mentions off us, but we don't ever mention Tony Esmond.
Tony Esmond.
Oh,
Professor Riptide, who's the man on the... I've got a picture, listeners, up for everyone at the moment. It's a picture of Vincent Hunt. But looks like he's... What's he? Is he going to stab him with something? Is he got a flick knife?
Which one is
it's
Tony?
A microphone, I think.
It's a microphone. Sorry.
Which one is Tony Esmond?
Is the guy on the right?
The one who looks like he's about to be stabbed.
Yeah, it is a microphone. Yeah, it's not a flick knife that he's threatening him with. But I thought, you know what? We're gonna make up for this egregious error that we've made. And I looked into him a little bit, like you complain about me doing research into you, don't you, Raoul? When I find out all about, you know, where your family live. If they've had any work done on the house and tell you about it and stuff like that.
You know more about my family than I do.
Oh, yes.
You showed me those maps, the layouts, the schematics.
And the photos of his mum and dad coming and going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did a bit of research into Tony Esmond, and I discovered a really good website that he actually writes for called downthetubes.net, which I assume, because I've been into comic books forever, I've never heard of it, but it's been around for a long time. And it's all about British kind of comics and stuff like that. And I wish I'd known when I started doing this podcast, because I could rip their stuff off royally, and I shall be after this podcast. Hmm. So he writes for that, and he's also working on a new project for Nottingham Comic Con, which is going to be our convention of the week this week to look out for. They are currently doing a Kickstarter, Nottingham Comic Con are, for this book, which is going to be a collection of short comic book stories, and he's the writer of one of these stories, and also working on one. You've also got your man, where's his name on my list, Vince Hunt's going to work on one as well. So if you go on Kickstarter, look up Nottingham Comic Con Anthology Forest Tales, you can put some cash towards this, and they're going to print like 150 copies of it. And
looks like they've already got to their goal.
Yes, they've already surpassed it, and that was, I screen grabbed this about 3-4 days ago. Yeah, they've surpassed the goal easy. But you've got a bunch of cool people working on it, like Sally Jane Thompson and Matt Garvey, and they're just a few of them. There's lots of other names on there. So, big names, all doing it. So I wanted to mention that as well, and Tony Esmond is working on that. So, feckin' get in there, and if it's still on Kickstarter, put some cash towards it so you can get yourself a copy. So, hopefully we've righted the wrong of Tony Esmond. Do you think we have?
I think so, yeah.
Well, I'm
sorry that
you felt
that way about us until tonight, at least.
Well, we have mentioned the Awesome Comics podcast a lot and always left him out.
Yeah, it's a bit naughty, I suppose, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Well, the thing was,
we didn't mean it though, did we?
I always saw his Twitter name, but I never, I knew his real name until I did my in-depth kind of search into him. Mm-hmm. I'll show you some of the photos I got of him as well.
And assist.
Do you think we could ask him that if we are forgiven, that he could give us some sort of, ping, just send us a message to say, like, you're forgiven? Just so we know. I feel bad about that.
If you go on to the...
I'd like him to do that, and I'd like Vincent Hunt to go, Paul, you a twat. After you made your comment as well.
But that was just mucking around. I didn't mean it. It was just rhyme.
Do you not think he has heard that every day of his frigging life?
Well, I hope he hasn't.
When I was a kid, there used to be a policeman who worked over at Brant Road, which is behind the fields where we are, called PC Lunt.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how much grief he got off the kids?
Well, look, one of my favourite teachers was Mr. Fitzpatrick, who was an English teacher, and everyone used to call him Tits Fabric. It was just what we called
it. It's character building.
And I felt really bad about that later on in life.
That's what bullies say, isn't it, to justify it.
I felt bad about it later on in life because he was a really nice old bloke, And we all used to call him Tits Fat Prick.
Look, I got bullied mercilessly, and look what happened to me. I'm stronger for it. Did me a world.
That explains a lot.
Do you know what? Your party, your sister mentioned about your arms getting bigger from all the gym work.
My sister said that.
Yeah, guess which one of the group currently here jumped in and went, his arms look tiny, there's nothing at all.
Do I get three guesses?
Yes.
I think I'm getting one.
Go on, who do you think it was?
These are triceps. Was it you? Was it you?
That was it, yeah. These are triceps. Feel these.
Look.
Sorry.
Then you said you were sponsored.
I've got the tricep. I conceded that you're still bench pressing more than me. You can't squat as much.
Hang on a minute. What do bodies actually do?
I don't even bother.
Do they not react to somebody who might be, talks about being popular? Not to say that I'm popular. What do they immediately do?
Isn't it feelings of, insecurity and
the driver,
inferiority that causes risk?
The driver? I don't know. Well, I'm not a psychologist. By any stretch of the imagination.
Good.
Anyway, so that book which Tony Esmond has worked on for Nottingham Comic Con. Nottingham Comic Con is coming up on Saturday the 29th of October, and there is a bunch of cool stuff going to be. I've been to it before. There's loads of comic book creators. It's a proper con for comic book creators. Go along. I really enjoyed it last time. I wish, to be honest, that I'd thought in advance and got a table there, because it's just the kind of place that I'd want to be going to. Mm-hmm. So go then. I think that's where I actually saw Vincent Hunt last year. I saw him and I introduced myself. He probably forgot about it now. Do you remember that handsome man coming up to you, Vince, and saying hello? Probably doesn't. So if you want to find out more about that, it's www.nottinghamcomiccon.co.uk. Look at their website. It looks pretty awesome. And it is good. The one last year was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. Right, we're going to talk about Wonder Woman, because where this was announced last week, that Greg Rucker, who famously worked on Wonder Woman during 2000s onwards, he came out and said, do you know what? Wonder Woman is bisexual. She's always been bisexual. And then this caused a big kind of media storm. People going, oh, Wonder Woman's queer. What do you think about this?
Well, she's from an island full of women, so how else was she going to get her underway?
Well, that is the thing. They do live on an island with lots of Amazonians.
And there aren't any chaps there.
Well, this is the point he said. It was reported as to begin with. The headlines were like, writer announces that she's bisexual. But then when you read what he's saying, well, it's always been kind of there. You've known that she grew up on this island. Of course she probably had female lovers. So he always said he didn't ever feel like he needed to mention it. Is it a big deal, Wonder Woman, being a bit kind of AC/DC? Do you mind, Rick?
No.
Does it improve it a little bit?
Well, it's a twist, I suppose. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump in.
I don't even think it's...
Does it matter?
Yeah, it doesn't matter, does it?
Really? No one gives an arse about it. Did they need to mention it? Probably not really, but... I suppose if you're a young lady who is of the bisexual or lesbian persuasion... Maybe you can take some kind of solace in the fact that one of the toughest biatches in comic books, likes the ladies too. What do you think, Raoul? I'm sure you've got an opinion about this.
Well, Greg Rucker says, I think it always was implied anyway. In fact, I always hoped that she was a bit, if you know what I mean.
Just been sick in my mouth. Good Lord.
No, I mean, I think it was always implied, so I don't see it as an issue. And why should it be an issue?
Yeah. The fact that the newspapers announce it, I think that...
It's just a slow news day, isn't it? It's nonsense, but even for the news, you can give it time, because it's not real. It's totally fictitious. And there's Syria to worry about.
Yeah, there we go. We could end everything we talk about with that. We should be worrying about Syria. Yes, it's not much. What do you think, Paul?
Does it make it better? I think it probably adds another...
Your little half-smile appeared then. You're like, yes, it does.
The one I think job. it adds another dimension,
to it? Two Amazonian ladies at it.
Sick all over again.
I think in terms of a storyline, it could probably add some interesting depth to her and directions that the story, a possible direction that the story could go. I'm indifferent, really, as to, you know, on the surface as to whether or not she is, you know, batting for both sides. It doesn't make any difference to me in terms of that. You might even say it's a little bit right on to kind of throw it in right now. But yeah. if they're genuinely going to investigate it in terms of how storylines might develop and sort of weave that into what happens in the narrative in an interesting way, then it becomes more pertinent, I suppose, rather than just go, yeah, right on, she's a leather too. Bit of a leather, bit of a pezza. I don't know, it just rhymes.
A bit of a leather and a bit rhymes. Of a pezza. It could
be. They could
look at storylines which aren't necessarily about superpowers, but about how does is it Steve Trevor or a boyfriend? How does he accept when
some
other Amazonian ex-lover of hers turns up? How does he feel? And not only the fact that it's a woman, but a woman who can kick his ass most likely.
If it was built into the story in an interesting way, in an engaging way, in a meaningful way, then I think it would be. It'd be good.
Right, the next thing I wanted to quickly talk about is to do with The Guardian last week announced that has J.J. Abrams ruined plans to expand the Star Wars universe? And it's because J.J. Abrams says, in light of Rogue One coming out soon, the new Star Wars film, that that without a Skywalker and a Solo in it, it doesn't feel like a proper film. He said something along those lines. And people have jumped at that and then started saying, well, yeah, there isn't so much hype for Rogue One. The Force Awakens had so much more hype about it. Is this a bad sign? Does it mean that, you know, the plans expanded universe are going to fail?
No. Like, thing is, yes, The Force Awakens is going to have absolutely loads of hype because it is the first proper, shall we say, Star Wars film for a while. It follows on from what we already know. It does give something new, something that the vast majority who aren't absolute diehard, although it is more or less a reboot because all the canon stuff was thrown out, wasn't it?
Yes.
Effectively, it follows on from the story, gives us something totally new. Now, in Rogue One, and shall we say the prequel type films, we kind of know what happens. Like in Rogue One, we know they get the plans for the Death Star. Pardon me. Sorry, stuff was going on.
Yeah, sorry, I dropped my question paper for the quiz we're doing later. Continue. Do you know what? I'm actually shocked that so far I'm agreeing with everything you're saying.
Yeah, so...
this must mean it's the end of the world, mustn't it?
Possibly. We know what's happening with Rogue One. So it is kind of... it's going to have less, I suppose, less hype surrounding it initially because it probably is mostly targeted at those absolute diehard Star Wars fans, rather than those who are fans that want to, you know, have a nostalgic view of it. Now, I think that with Rogue One, because I've heard it described as Saving Private Ryan in space. Now that in itself just says I want to watch it.
Yeah,
I want to be all over it. You know, and the thing is, because Star Wars has always been had a mystical, magical kind of fantasy element about it, which there is an argument to say that Star Wars isn't necessarily science fiction in quite the same way as say Battlestar Galactica or Star Trek, because they're much more science-y orientated. Whereas, you know, in the Star Wars universe, you do have magic as a thing. They can potentially do a lot more, I think, with Rogue One.
Yeah. Anyone else got anything to say on that one? Are you chatting to ladies on your phone at the moment, Paul?
No.
That kind of look about you, that kind of you were stroking your top lip as if to be like, another lady in the bag.
Well, I've been talking to my dad about the fact that the woman who crashed into my car has admitted liability.
Fantastic.
I hope they've got that on record, just going off the show for a minute, because when someone drove into Lisa's car, my partner, they admitted liability on the phone to my insurance company, then subsequently went back and then said they didn't admit it. And I said, well, you've got to record them, haven't you? And they went, oh, no, sorry, we didn't keep the recording. And then 3 years later, we went to court and we won. But it's like, you idiots.
The company that insures my car records all the messages and they ring up the other insurance company.
I think all insurance companies should do. The one we had said they did. Then they went, oh, sorry, we've got rid of it now. It's like, but we just won it.
Then the insurance company is liable because they've obviously admitted to
knowledge
of the liability.
Well, the thing is, our one went further because they admitted liability and then they went with someone else to try and get money from us. They were claiming that they'd sustained some injury. £75,000 they wanted. We only found out after we'd won the case that that's what they're after. Robbing
outrageous. Did it get thrown out?
Yes, completely. It was brilliant. The judge kicked ass. And their solicitor, the slimy little shit, as well, at the end of it, after they'd lost, goes, can we talk about maybe our costs? You know, he wanted to get back the costs, their legal costs. And the judge looked at him and said, I've seen how much money you were trying to get out of the other side on this one. If I was you, I would sit down and shut up now, sir. I was like,
yeah. Is that what he actually said?
Something along those lines. That was amazing. This was a long time. The judge was excellent. He clearly knew from the outset that we were innocent parties in it, and he repeatedly shut down whenever their Lisa had to go up and be cross-examined by their solicitor, and he started being a douche. And she's more nervous than I am. I fucking love my day in court.
Oh, you probably end up in prison because of your day in court.
I'd win. I'd win the case.
You'd win, but you'd be like, you're going guns blazing.
But the judge shut it down, the bloke. Well, magistrate, whatever he was. Mm. He was really good. Anyway, back to the point on this. I agree with everything you say, Raoul, and also add to it this. We don't, first of all, you've not got Harrison Ford in Rogue One. You've not got Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and all of those famous, well-known faces.
Who's
going to
die
back
soon anyway?
Why?
That's beside the point.
They're clocking on a bit, mate.
But anyway, you've not got them back.
That you didn't, you know, and nobody else knew about.
You've not got them back. They are a big pull factor for fans of the old one. So you're never going to have the same vibe about it as Force Awakens. But secondly, you don't need a Skywalker or a Solo in a film because Star Wars Rebels is a frigging amazing animation that's being shown at the moment.
Mm.
Some of the best Star Wars has been done through Rebels and the Clone Wars animated series. And you admitted in Clone Wars you had Anakin Skywalker, but some of the episodes didn't revolve around him. And the Rebels, if anything, shows that just the world of Star Wars is rich enough to sustain interesting stories without these characters in them. So I would say, bog off The Guardian. It's not going to make as much money as The Force Awakens, but I don't think they're ever expecting it to. It's going to make a lot of money, though, not as much as Force Awakens.
Well, it will make a load of money. It'll more than pay for itself.
Yeah. So, I hate all this stuff. Again, I think it's a bit of a slow news day. They start bitching at something.
Just pulling shit out of their arse.
What worries me, though, is when you get media doing this, executives at big companies, if there's a general feeling that Rogue One's going to be crap, based on no story like this, that could, in theory, have a knock-on effect, and maybe some people don't go to watch it because they assume it's going to be shit.
Oh, I mean, there's a guy I know who's a script doctor. And he said the problem now with a lot of studios is that they are very, very led by their press coverage, and they'll make a film for a certain demographic that will spend money rather than make a film that's necessarily good.
Yeah,
you know, and they can easily be swayed by press like this.
So not like this. And something like Disney's a big-ass company, so they're not going to be felled.
In Disney's defence, I mean, they've been very good at just letting them get on with it, haven't they?
Yeah.
They haven't. The same with the Marvel stuff. They haven't really meddled in Marvel either.
Well, let's put it this way. Lucasfilm, when they made the prequels, gave us Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
Disney have not done that yet. Disney gave us, you know, BB-8, who's a cool character.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with the way that Disney are doing stuff at the moment. I think they're doing a bang-up job on it. Next thing I want to talk about was, I got contacted over Twitter by a guy from pipedreamcomics.co.uk, and he said, we do this fanzine thing called The Pull List about indie comics. Would you like to look at it and maybe mention it on the show? And I said, yes. It's from a guy called Alex.
Alex.
And so I was imagining, before I looked at it, I thought, this is going to be some kind of piss-poor effort.
Yeah.
Alex Thomas, his name is. Just because I thought I'll enjoy it, because I like comic book stuff, but I just thought it's going to be, yeah.
So-so.
You know what? I sent this to some of you, didn't I? Did you? Anyone get a chance to look at it?
I didn't.
I tried to send it over. You weren't, because I sent it over WhatsApp,
my old phone,
the WhatsApp group. I got it.
Really?
And it's, first of all, it was 47 pages long, which shocked me that it was that long. And it was fucking awesome. It was well written. This is some of it here.
Wow.
Really well put together. Features interesting stories. There's lots of adverts for comics, indie comics that are coming out.
How long does it take them to put all this together?
I have no idea on it. I imagine, are they going to bring it out monthly? If you want to find out more, go to facebook.com/pipedreamcomics or go at pipedreamcomics. But I got my sister to look through it as well, because with her being an English expert, I thought she'll find the spelling mistakes I overlook.
What did she think to it?
She said, really well done. Because my sister writes for, I've forgotten the name of the chuffing thing she writes for now. It's really good as well. I'll come back to me in a minute. Standard Issue she writes for.
Oh, yeah.
She checked it through, and she's... can be quite critical of stuff. She said, really well done, top notch. I enjoyed it. It looks just like a proper magazine that I would buy, but a proper magazine for something quite kind of niche, like independent comic books. So just the layout is quality done. She has lots of cool stuff inside it. It blew me socks off. So check out their website, www.pipedreamcomics.co.uk. I would probably pay for something like this.
It's free.
If something
but
glossy.
No, I mean, is
in
it actually...
digital format, that's what that is.
Yeah.
Is it actually free?
That was my impression.
This one was.
How they managed it, because the amount of work that's gone into that is immense.
Yeah, there are comic strips in it as well. It's just...
yeah, it's a huge amount of work, to especially, you know, to do it for free. That's just incredible.
I'll have to check on the website. I don't know whether it'll always be free. I'm going to guess in they have adverts in it. Maybe they fund it through there.
Through that way, well, yeah.
Why doesn't Alex... We get Alex, who sent it in. I'll message him that we've talked about it. If he wants to come on and tell us a bit more about it...
yeah, that'd be good, because it does look really, really solid. It's brilliant.
It is. It's very well done. I was surprised just by, you know, how good it was. And it was cool. It was good seeing about stuff that I'd never heard about as well. They do interviews on it. Yeah, it was really, really good. There's a feature in this one they sent me called How to Make a Digital Comics Anthology. So it's not just if you want to read about the makers of comics, you want to learn about how to make your own stuff. Yeah, quality all the way through. So, yeah, we'll see if Alex listens to this, what he thinks, and if he wants to come on and talk. Because we need to have some guests on, don't we? We need Dan Butcher on.
And Mr. Chunt.
Oh, for fake sake.
And the other one's name
after what I said, I feel embarrassed about that.
What's
I want to take
Tony
that back.
Esmond.
Yeah, Tony Esmond, him too, yeah.
The other one.
I want to take it back. I didn't mean it. It was just a play on
it's
words.
Too late now.
It's
too
a play
late.
On words. That's all it was.
He'll heard that and switched off, and then he'll be looking you up, and then...
looking for a reason to hate me.
Yeah.
Well, he's already got a reason to hate me.
He hasn't even seen your face yet.
Yeah, I know. Jesus Christ, that's two reasons.
Imagine Mark Lamar had a brother... That's what you look like.
I met like Mark Lamar once.
I know, it was at some kind of show, wasn't it? With the lady
no, I met him before that.
Balls.
Weirdly, he was on a show. It was a strange show. But then I saw him at London Weekend Television as well. Very odd. Anyway,
next we're going to talk about our comic of the week, which is Penny Blackfeather. and its website is www.pennyblackfeather.co.uk. It's by a VFX artist from London, by Francesca Dare, and it's quite an interesting story. She describes this as a... Let me find you the website. It's quite an interesting... Will it open for me, you bugger? It's quite an interesting name that she calls it on this. It's... Regency Punk Adventure. So it has a particular style to it. And it's quite funny. And I just wanted to, I've got some pages to show you chaps about it. It's the style. It looks like it's drawn with pencil and then maybe watercoloured on top. So it looks quite interesting. This is for the first page in it. Set in England in this normal looking town. It looks quite interesting. Here's some of the later pages to show. You can see a bit of the development.
I like the artwork.
Very stylized.
Yeah.
Blacks and whites and greys, and then a bit of colour. There's a big bloody parrot in it, isn't there? So, yeah, this is my comment. Go and check this out. It's a fun story. If you like kind of quirky British-type stuff with its tongue firmly in cheek, then you'd like this. It's good fun. So this is going to be my comic of the week. I like the look of it. Very different and stylized.
It is, isn't it? I like it.
Yeah. It doesn't look like, you know, a rip-off of some kind of superhero-type comic or something like that, which you often see. And I like what she does with the lettering on it as well. I don't know if the lettering is done on the computer or done by hand. I'm not sure. Yeah. It's funny and it's a laugh. So yeah, check that out. That is my comic of the week. Well worth a look at. Which leads us on to Ultimo Geek this week.
Oh, shit.
And it's a special. And it's going to be a handicap quiz because, as we all know, Raoul, you see yourself as the king of Amigas.
Well... Oh man, this is pressure.
So what about you need to win by what? How much of a lead does he need to get to win this one? Seeing as he is,
it depends what point in history. I haven't.
It's 10 questions, all about the Amiga.
I haven't gone near an Amiga in 15 years. But go on, let's
Since
do this.
Since the Flame Wars,
let's do this.
What about he needs to be at least? Is 3 points too much ahead of everyone else?
No, 3's fine.
Out of how many? 10?
10 questions.
Make it 2 then. Make it 2 questions.
2 or 3, what should you go with this? We'll go.
Depends what you're going to ask me about, because...
This is a proper geek quiz now, isn't it? My mum and dad listen to this and they love playing Ultimo Geek. I'm going to put it out now.
You might struggle on this one.
You might have a problem with this one. So,
let's fail miserably.
Let's
is that
see.
What an Amiga looks like?
That's probably what
that's an Amiga.
Is that the rest of them? 0.2 That's a 500, probably 500 plus. It looks like it's one OS 1.3 or 2.
God, yeah. This is the battle between the Atari ST and the Commodore Amiga, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, should we get on with this? Yeah. Already our geek points have gone through the roof. Okay, question 1. In which year did the Amiga 1000... in which year the Amiga 1000 was presented to the public? So when was it presented to the public? Was it 1984, 1986, 1985 or 1978?
Well, it would be either 84 or 85, depending on... Because there was that big Andy Warhol was there.
It was 86, I reckon.
You reckon? No, what? I don't think it was 86.
I think it was 86, because before that was the Commodore 16, and that was in the late 80s as well.
I'm going
head to head with the fucking
Amiga.
I'm going to go for
85.
I'm going 86.
What are you going for? You might as well tell me out. You're going for 86. What are you going for?
I'm going to go 86.
And Raoul's right. It was 1985.
Yeah, because the thing is, that there was a prototype that was doing the rounds in 84, but it was only... Yeah, because there was the big...
You're like 5 years old.
Yeah, but I can still live the dream.
What CPU was used in the Amiga 600? Was it the 6800, the 6810, 6820, or the 6830?
We did this silently.
We had one of these.
I think it was the 6. I think it was a straight 6800, but it was a slightly modified one because it had. I think it had a.
Ultimo Geek.
There's nothing on there about alterations. He just wants to know what the answer is.
I think it was a 6800. I don't think it was a 60. I don't think it was the 6810 because I don't think they actually use that in production. Because it went 68,000, 68020. That was what was in the 1200 and. Go on.
Go on. Andy, have you got your answer? I want to see yours. So I've got Paul's and I've got Rob's.
It was a Motorola processor.
I'll just go for the 10.
Right.
Right. But no, I'll stick with my original one.
And Paul and Raoul are both correct. It was the 68000. 68000.
Yo, yo, yo.
Next one. When did Commodore announce it was bankrupt? Was it? Was it December 1993, April 1994, September 1994, or February 1995? That, this could be the quiz that kills the show.
I'm going to have to go for that one.
I'm going for September 94.
Going for four. When are you going? So you're going for September. When 94. Are you going for?
Because I think it was later.
I'm going for that.
I remember
September
the day.
94.
Which one are you going for, Andy?
Ripples through the.
I was actually really sad that day.
Which one
April
94. Okay, and Andy's correct. It was April 1994.
Yeah.
April. Yeah. Flipping out. I thought it was September.
I did too.
Thought you were smart.
What was the name of the company that developed the first Amiga before the company's name itself was changed into Amiga
Well,
Inc?
Technically, it wasn't the first.
Was it Commodore, Amigo, Amino, or HiToro?
This is a trick question. Because. So HiToro, when they were HiToro, they were actually developing. It was. This is a really trick question because you could. That there, you could say. Well, actually, the answer is Commodore because it was Commodore before it became Amiga Inc. But that was after the whole bankruptcy and stuff.
Anyone want to give the friggin' answer?
HiToro.
Well, I've got
yours. HiToro was the very, very first company, and some dentists gave them some money and stuff. And they were developing. They were pretending or masquerading. Your dog's got big testicles. I just realised. They were pretending. To build like a...
Well, what's your answer?
I'll go with HiToro and assume you're not trying to trick me.
And Andy, Paul and Rob, you're correct. It was HiToro. Right, can I just say, score so far, we've got Rob...
Hang on a minute.
...is on 3, Paul's on 2 and Andy's on 2.
Which company took over Commodore in 1995?
Have you just taken over my show? Which company took over Commodore in 1995? Was it Gateway, Escom, Amino, or Viscorp?
But they went bankrupt in April 1994, you said.
It took years to get a
yeah,
year to
a
get.
So,
it's not questioning my Amiga knowledge, my Commodore knowledge.
Yeah.
So, I'll ask that question again. Which company took over Commodore in 1995?
It was Escom.
Gateway, Escom, Amino, or Viscorp? Would you all like to guess?
Escom.
I think I'll go
and
Escom.
Everyone's got that right.
Oh, flipping heck.
I was going to say that.
No one's playing properly, Rob. Jesus.
They took over all the Rumbelow stores and then they went bust.
I want to get this right off the back of my own knowledge, not with you sticking your big
boy.
You've done enough of that this week already.
Rob is only 1 point ahead at the moment. So, what was the name? Imagine how embarrassing it's going to be for you if you don't win this. What was the name of the first Amiga prototype? Was it Daphne, Paula, Lorraine, or Denise?
These are the names of custom chips.
What was the name of the first Amiga prototype?
But it wasn't. These were the names
from the Amiga. Well, this is from a special Amiga quiz website.
I'm going to go with Lorraine.
But what are you going? You can show me with fingers, by the way. So what are you not going with? What are you going with? You're the same as Andy and Rob are correct. It was Lorraine.
I thought so. I just had
this is a little bit easier. Where did Jay Miner work before he joined HiToro?
He absolutely hated. That guy was a legend. Jay
IBM,
Miner.
Apple, Atari, Texas Instruments.
It was Atari, and he absolutely hate. Him and Jack Tramiel.
I think you're misunderstanding how the quiz goes. Andy, what's your answer going to be?
Oh well. It's my knowledge of Jay Miner's correct, then it's Atari.
Yes! What are you going with? Anyone else going with Atari?
I had my fingers down there already with Atari before he bloody said anything.
Right.
I want to win my own merits.
Yeah, isn't he? So...
And you're all correct. Well done.
Where does that put me, but just out of interest?
Right, at the moment, we've got Rob with 6, Andy with 5, Paul with 4, and Rick with two.
I really surprised myself with my knowledge of
Yeah, I am. It's a lot of effort to actually copy somebody else, isn't it?
Okay, we've got three more questions left.
Oh, I could win.
What is the source of the boing sound in the boing demo? Is it a trash can, a garage door, a car roof, or an iron roof?
What?
So the boing sound.
I think it was a trash can. But I mean, this was quite a long time ago.
Can I have your answer? Then you go with
was
trash
the boing
can.
Boing demo, quite a good game.
Yeah, well, it was. They demoed it at
What are you going with then?
Go for a different one.
Trash can. You're going garage door. What are you going with?
Trash can.
And Andy's correct, I'm afraid.
Garage door.
It was a garage door.
What? I was correct.
Oh, so are you as well.
I didn't want to swear at you.
Oh, sorry, I'm with you. And Rick as well. So at the moment.
Oh, shit. I was getting confused with Star Wars. It was the garage door. I was getting confused with the story of how. With the telegraph. Oh.
Andy has to get the next two questions wrong for him
to win.
You need to be two ahead of him to win.
Oh, fuck.
Or anyone
but
else.
But he copied some of my answers.
Yeah,
he said them out loud.
But
This one is a much simpler one.
I don't properly play.
What are the names of the custom chips in the Amiga 500? Are they Buster, Gale, Gary, Akiko, Kia, Copper, Paul, Angus, Denise, or Gale, Denise and Buster?
Paul, Agnes and Denise. I'm pretty certain.
Perfect save, Bob. You're a numpty. Anyone else going for three then on that one? And you're all correct. So well done, everybody. You might have more of a chance of winning this if you stop giving everyone else the answers. So
he's won it anyway. I mean, let's face it.
Last question.
Anyway. No, because he's got a.
Oh shit! The bed.
Oh my goodness.
Should we go double or quits on this one?
No.
How many? Well, no.
I think this is a bit of a curveball.
How many keys
on a standard Amiga? So, what are we talking about? Are we talking about?
Is it 96, 98, 104,
104? But when it says standard Amiga keyboard, is it referencing the standard keyboard that you'd buy and plug into, say, a desktop Amiga, like a 1000, a 4000, a 3000? Or
standard Amiga.
Is the Amiga 500?
Andy, can I take your first answer?
I would say like the 5, go back to the 800s. So because it would be different for the 600, which was cut down.
That's right, because the Germans buggered that up, didn't they? They lost.
Should we get double or quits on this? Because you can actually win if we go double and quits.
Okay, we'll go double and quits.
Right. So start with you, Raoul.
I want to go for 104.
104. You. What do you think it is? You think it's 98.
What did I put up first?
You think it's 104.
Yeah.
Andy, what do you think it is?
I go for 96 then.
Andy wins, it was 96.
Oh,
Jake! I won the Amiga quiz!
Beaten on home
side. Oh my god!
How is this possible?
How what?
The king of the Amigas!
I can't believe it!
The king is dead, long live the king!
Why, Joe, you have shot yourself in the foot a little bit. You kept shouting out the answers, didn't you?
104!
He's doing okay. Have you got an Amiga at home?
Mine died years ago. I'm just trying to think. What?
You need to go back to Amiga school.
Keyboard. Standard keyboard.
Right, yeah.
Because they're like 104 or 110. And it's fewer than that.
But it had a full array of function keys. And remember the keypad.
And it doesn't have all the extra ones.
Anyway.
It had the left and right Amiga key.
There are people listening to this, by the way. Anyway, what a shocking ending to this show. Who would have thought it?
It's more exciting than the game of football, isn't it?
Who would have thought Andy would come out of nowhere and defeat the king of Amiga?
It was because I said my answers.
Yes.
Well,
I just realised that.
Or did I just do a lot of Amiga handling?
So what have you learned? What have you learned, Rob? Tell us.
That I'm shit.
At Amigas?
At Amigas.
Don't ever shout your answers out.
That's I know nothing.
Andy, you are officially the Amiga King. Anyway,
he did say two questions for Amiga Rob Crown. I'm beaten by someone. He got the garage door.
But he guessed the garage door and he guessed the keys. They weren't really questions about, you know, Paula, Agnes and Denise.
It's not funny, but Andy just whooped you at an Amiga quiz. When it came down to it, he just knew more about Amigas than you.
Do you know what, Steve? You know, what was it, going about 6 months now, you said there was going to be an Amiga quiz? Well, did you turn up on that very day?
Reprising.
Was there a Rocky-style montage?
Excellent. What did you
around the park.
Was it enjoyable?
That's what's on his laptop.
It was a...
That's what it's been about. All the secret stuff on his laptop he didn't want
all
to see.
Amigas.
All those Amiga facts.
Ooh, I'm going to get my fingers on your hard drive. Anyway, so that's all for this show. I hope you enjoyed it. That was a little bit different, that quiz there. I'm still shocked. I am stunned.
I'm shocked too. I'm going to go home and kill myself. Because clearly I don't deserve to live.
Well... No one's disagreeing. Anyway,
off you go. It's got nothing to do with the quiz, has it?
No. What hasn't?
Anyway, shall we all say? So tonight's reigning Ultimo Geek Amiga quiz champion Andy, do you want to say goodbye?
Bollocks!
Stealing my thunder here, Rob. Goodbye,
Raoul, the defeated champion.
Oh, I was a champion, was I?
Well, you were like the Goliath to his David, but he felled you with a slingshot filled with Amiga facts.
Which you copied off me because I was too dumb.
He beat you on two of them. He beat you on two of them. You got them right. You got them wrong. Paul, good night from you.
Good night
from you.
Good night.
Good night.
That was ghastly.